We're going to continue in our series this second week in the book of Philippians. So if you want to follow along and take some notes, fill in the blanks, there's an outline for you on the back. As we're now moving on into chapter 1, we're moving on with verse 18, our second reading today that Bob read for us. And we're continuing then in this theme of Philippians, which helps us to know joy. Joy. Or it's cognizant, rejoicing, to be a rejoicing person in the joy that we've been given. How might we describe joy? We talked about this last week, that it's defined and given to us by what we know as God's people. Grace, charis, peace, reine, that's given to us from God our Father and found and known in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's next then is the Holy Spirit working out this joy in our lives. And so this is what we're talking about. And the Spirit is leading us into in this letter to the Philippians is that joy is that which is known and expressed among us because of what we've been given. God's grace and God's peace in our Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, right? Is maybe the verbal expression. The life expression, then, is joy. Kara, coming from that word grace, which we might understand and take in the spirit of grace that is recognized. As we have been saved by grace, justified, sins forgiven, made new in the work of Jesus' suffering and death, so we have been made alive in Christ, set apart, sanctified, and by that Holy Spirit, joy, then, is recognized grace in our lives. Well, herein is the struggle for us, right? Because, as Jesus was talking about in the gospel reading, some of us have been a part of this kingdom for a long time, and in our human thinking, we deserve more. And yet, those who come in at the last moment, the thief on the cross example, right? They're going to receive the same as we receive. That is, the grace that we've been given, and they're going to enjoy that grace as we're going to enjoy that grace. But for us, now it doesn't seem very fair. And in our thinking, that sucks the joy out of us at times, doesn't it? Or at least we allow our sinful human thinking to suck that joy out of us. When joy abounds for us as God's people, it's grace recognized. In the exercise of our free will, remember, this is one of those areas that we get to choose. So somebody is brought into the kingdom at the last minute, thief on the cross. I have an opportunity to rejoice with them, or I can choose to allow my sinful nature to take control there and not express any thanksgiving, joy, any kind of blessing for this person, whoever it is. And so we get to choose how we're going to respond. This is our free will being allowed in us. And as a person who's been justified by grace through faith, am I going to choose to be joyful or rejoicing in my responses of life in the kingdom? I have an opportunity to choose that. Well, of course, if I'm not choosing joy, then I'm really rejecting what's been given to me in the gift of grace, and that's my sin right before me again. So, Holy Spirit, help me choose joy, to be joyful and rejoicing in all circumstances, wherever I find myself, with whoever I find myself, of your goodness that changes lives as it's changed mine, your grace. Okay. Paul, as we pick it up in verse 18, is saying, in fact, I will continue to rejoice. That's simply an English way of saying rejoice. And I will say it again, I am rejoicing. It's a Hebrewism in which Paul is repeating an important truth for us. Paul's a Hebrew, right? He's an Israelite. So he's coming out of Old Testament kind of nomenclature and understanding. And in that Old Testament Spirit-inspired word, when the Holy Spirit repeats something twice, Genesis chapter 1 is a creation account. Genesis chapter 2 is a creation account. The good Lord is saying, hey, pay attention, my people. This is important. So Paul's using the Hebrewism here. I continue to rejoice. I am rejoicing, and I am rejoicing, in other words. And so the Spirit is encouraging here, us, you and me, in our daily walk and living, to be these people who are rejoicing. Who are rejoicing, continuing, right? It's ongoing. I will choose to let grace then, as Paul is saying here, I will choose to let grace be recognized, that's joy, in me as an ongoing expression of my being. Did you have something particularly challenging this coming week? Or this last week, I should say, this past week? I did. Wasn't looking forward to necessarily moving out in that activity that I had. But here's the word of the Lord that impacts our lives and our daily living. I thought about, I was reminded about what we're moving through in the book of Philippians. That no matter what I'm facing, I can choose joy. And so as I was approaching that event in my life, I was in prayer. Lord, I want to be joyful as grace is recognized in my being in this situation, even though I'm not looking very forward to it. Let me be joyful for you so that the people that I'm engaged with, they can see joy in me. And guess what happened? It was actually a joyful event that I experienced as joy is being expressed by the Spirit because of the grace that we know. Think about that, maybe, my friends, for what's coming up this week for you or ahead of you in life. And be thinking about this in the Spirit who calls us, in God's grace, to be joyful, to continue in that rejoicing. Oh, I said this already. Paul is repeating himself because the Spirit wants this emphasized. And he is saying this repeating, continue in joy, because as we discovered last week, he's in chains, right? Literally, he's in chains. He's in prison. He's under house arrest, but he's in chains. He's chained, actually, to a centurion, or Praetorium, a guard of the Praetorium. And he's chained to this Praetorium guard in his own house. He's able to have money to be able to buy food, but he has to give that money to his friends, and his friends go and buy that food and bring it to him while he's chained to this guard. That's the way it was for Paul as he was imprisoned. Because, Paul says, I am continuing to rejoice because in the end, verse 19, I know that through your prayers and the Lord God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Isn't that the truth that marks us as well? Is that we already know the end of the story. We already know how this is all going to finish one day. We can even have confidence that in this event that I'm facing, I already know, have confidence, how this is going to end. It's going to end by a definition of grace, God's grace, being expressed, recognized in joy through me, if in my sinfulness I don't block that joy, and in the Spirit that joy is recognized. This is no small thing for Paul to talk about what's going to happen in the end. It's not a small thing for you and me either. Not just because we're not, and it's not just because we're differing like Paul. He's in chains, literally. But what Paul uses here is this phrase, when we face trials, is philipsis. Trials. For Paul, it was under house arrest, in chains, dependent on others, not having his freedom. But the word philipsis, as Paul uses trials here, the Spirit embraces for us, means tribulation. That is pressure, as in that which constricts or rubs us together, even hems us in, so that one feels as if there's no options. And in fact, with that then comes great anxiety and a burdenedness to life. Well, we all know that. We know what it's like to bear anxiety and to feel a sense of burdenedness in a moment or over a period of time, whether it's something that we've already experienced or are anticipating. All of this are trials, chains, tribulations that rub us, that hem us in, that make us feel like there's no options, that make us sense that joy is not an option for me. But what is the Spirit saying? Is joy an option? Well, it is. It may not necessarily be the full expression of rejoicing and joy that I know at an unanxious time in life outside of a trial or tribulation. It may just be a small little inkling, a glimmer of that joy that I possess. But it's there. It's there because of God's grace for me. It's because of His Spirit empowering and strengthening me even amidst this trial, tribulation, through my anxiety and sense of burdenness. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, would lay out for them what it's like, in fact, to know joy because of God's grace in the midst of tribulations and trials, chains, literal chains or not. In fact, he would list it for them in 2 Corinthians 11. Look, this is what I faced, Paul would say, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, that is, scourging, whipping, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often, my life threatened. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods, and once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, and in perils in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, among false brethren. I faced all this, Paul is saying. These are some of the trials and tribulations. I've been anxious in some of these situations, and this has been my life. In weariness and toil and sleeplessness, often. Often in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often. In cold and nakedness. And besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? This burden that I have for you, all of you who are in Christ Jesus. This is my pastoral care for you, he's saying. That I bear this burden for you before the Lord, for your soul and your well-keeping in Him. Now, Paul wrote this second letter to the Corinthians in the autumn of 57 AD or thereabouts. And as we track his life and his time, this was about 2/3 of the way through his 32-year ministry. So he's got about 11 years more to go in his ministry, and he's already talking about all these trials that he's been facing. He's already faced all of these things, and yet he's still got a ways to go in his journey. In his fourth and final year of the third missionary journey, of which he wrote this letter, later on he would be arrested and then imprisoned in Jerusalem. His own people, his own countrymen, would imprison him in Jerusalem. And he would travel then from Jerusalem through Caesarea to Rome, and he would endure another shipwreck. He would endure a snake bite. He'd be imprisoned in Rome under house arrest. This is where he writes then, Philippians, under house arrest, writing this letter to the Philippians. And he says, I will continue to rejoice. And I ponder for myself, would I? Would I have given up a long time ago? Would I have forsaken any semblance of joy in my existence? And maybe even the more pointed question, do I? There by the grace of God, we go. No matter what kind of trial or tribulation, what are we called? But to rejoice. In the cross of Jesus Christ, absolutely no joy there. But in the cross of Jesus Christ, we see total grace. a gift from God our Heavenly Father through His only Son, Jesus, to know that grace which forgives sins. When I have given up and I am forsaking joy, yet there is forgiveness for my weakness, my stubbornness, for my willingness to so easily give in and forsake that which is mine, yours, in Christ Jesus. Here stands the cross. Here stands the symbol, the monument of grace for us. And with the cross is the empty tomb that marks for us new hope and life and a new beginning, to be a new creation in Christ Jesus every day, in Him every moment, and in Him to know joy. Grace recognized, right? To be able to continue in that joy because of the work that Jesus has done for each one of us and lives in me. For the grace that defines me as God's child. For to me, to live is Christ, certainly. But to die, well, that's gain. To die in Him is to know sins forgiven. To die in life is to know the promise that I've been given, everlasting joy. And I will continue to rejoice, is to live then in Christ, in the continuing expression of God's grace. To continue to rejoice and to die is gain, is mine in Him. So whatever happens, right? This is where Paul is leading then the Philippians, and where the Spirit would be leading us as well, is that no matter what happens, trial or tribulation we might face today or tomorrow, coming up in the future, no matter what happens, the Spirit says, in verses 27 and 29, we're given this encouraging word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, receive it from the Spirit as an encouraging word. I will continue to rejoice no matter what happens. In other words, I will continue to rejoice as I embrace my call to conduct myself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news. There's my identity. There's the power and the strength to face each trial and tribulation. It's the grace given to me in Jesus. So, I will continue to rejoice. I will continue to rejoice, as Paul would go on, the Spirit speaks to us, as I stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together with my fellow brothers and sisters as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose us. What does this speak to us but an opportunity that in your individual continuing to rejoice, we encourage each other as we stand firm in the gospel. And there's a lot of opposition out there. You know that. I do too. I'm my own worst enemy. But then there's the world and the devil and the sin that we live in a broken creation that's all opposing us. We need each other, don't we? To stand firm, which is an expression then of our continuing to rejoice. Bless you. It's bad, isn't it? I know. I'm with you. To continue our rejoicing is an encouragement to one another. So, brothers and sisters, shall we stand firm together, no matter what we face, in the joy of the Lord, which is grace recognized in us? And I will continue to rejoice as I believe in Jesus, by grace, through faith, even to suffer for Him. Literally, like Paul, maybe even in chains. Okay. For the sake of the gospel and the faith that we have. Okay. And no matter what kind of trial or tribulation I might face. Okay. I will continue to rejoice. We will continue to rejoice because of the grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that marks our lives, our existence, our being. Brothers and sisters, say with me, I will continue to rejoice. I will continue to rejoice. Our Heavenly Father, as you're leading us through this word of yours, the Spirit-inspired letter to the Philippians, as even to us, we hear this word, this truth, that marks our lives because of your grace, your calling in Jesus Christ to be your sons and daughters, forgiven, renewed, alive, and rejoicing. That grace would be recognized in our witness day in and day out, no matter what we face, no matter what trial, tribulation, anxiety, or burden we might sense. Your joy, Lord, is that grace recognized in us, and it's there because you're there with us always, leading, guiding, empowering, strengthening. Our desire, Heavenly Father, would be that that joy that's ours would be a bright, shining light, flame, example for you always, no matter what we're facing. So and strengthen us then, Lord, and empower us to continue to rejoice always in you. And we give you thanks for hearing our prayer and answering us and allowing us to be the people that are continuing to rejoice in Jesus our Savior, in his name. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that does pass our understanding but keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus be with you always now, so that you and I, we might continue to rejoice. Amen.